Welcome to the SMA News Today podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. I have SMA Type 2, and I am a columnist and forums director for SMANewsToday.com. Welcome to the SMA News Today podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. And joining me today is Jasmine Jackson from Vancouver, Washington. Jasmine is a development and marketing manager and a digital creator. She's also a mother and she has SMA type 2. Jasmine, I'm so glad to have you here today. Really excited for this one.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me, Kevin.
Absolutely. I know we got to know each other a little bit at conferences and we have mutual friends, but I'm really excited to talk more with you today. And yeah, so we'll get into it. So Jasmine, just to start off, can you tell listeners a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your story growing up with SMA?
Yeah, for sure. Growing up with SMA, let's see. I was born in North Carolina, actually. And my mom moved out here. We moved out here to be closer to family. And I'd say around two or three, my mom started to notice, I'm not walking like, I should be. I think I walk pretty late. So when we got here to the Vancouver, Portland area, she linked up with MDA and I got diagnosed when I was four with SMA type 2. And yeah, I can still remember the biopsy actually to this day. You know, it was like the late 80s. So it was like, old school type testing. So, but yeah, growing up was pretty cool, actually. I mean, I had a really good childhood. I was the only child for about 10 years. So we did a lot of traveling. We went to Disneyland a couple times. We did a lot of beach trips. Big family. I moved here and I had all my aunts and uncles and cousins, and we did a lot of things as a family, good support system, a lot of friends. So yeah, life was good. School was fun. My school was pretty accommodating, And then I think at the age of nine was when the real excitement started, when I started going to camp. And so, yeah, that was probably like the best time of my life. To this day, I can definitely say that's the best time of my life. So, yeah, going to summer camp was everything. That was, a time where, I got to be around for the first time in my life, too, be around other kids with muscular dystrophy with all different types. So just being able to be around people that were like me and every single person that was there, whether they were a camper or a counselor, we felt seen, we were understood, no explanation needed, it was just the perfect time. So yeah, that was pretty much the majority of my childhood, honestly, even up until early adulthood. I went to camp until I was 21. So, that was a big chunk of my life. So yeah, growing up with SMA, even my friends, I had a really good supportive group of friends who, weren't afraid to, throw me in the car and, throw my chair in the back. And, I had a manual chair kind of like in those days as well. So, which I use more than I do these days. So yeah, they weren't afraid to, let's go, let's do this, So yeah, childhood was pretty fun growing up, and, I'm grateful to, have lived that life, that childhood, because I know, not everyone has that support system, especially, with a disability, friends and family, it can be difficult for others, so I'm very grateful.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's similar for me too, of, I think the experience of being like always having my disability, not really going through the before and after stage, I think certainly had an impact on me, because I talk with friends who maybe got a diagnosis of either SMA or a different disability much later in life, and it affected them in different ways. For me, it was like always my normal. So I think that's kind of like similar in your case as well. Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. It was definitely the norm for me, I don't even think, my disability even played a factor, mentally or emotionally until I became an adult, a parent, but definitely spending all those years at camp really gave me my first like idea of what community was like, and that definitely shaped how it is today for sure.
Absolutely. Like I remember I did camp at least 1 year. I did SMA conference, quite a bit growing up, and then I do it every year now. I did MBA camp once when I was younger. I probably would have done it more. Then there was like a year I got sick, another year I had a broken leg, so I felt kind of cursed after a while, but I do remember that experience, and it was similar because it was this novelty of meeting other disabled kids and having that community, and also that was the first time my parents weren't taking care of me for a week, and I want to ask about that
Right.
too. Do you remember what it was like that first time? Because it is so overwhelming and so, sensational to have that, but also to have this experience of oh, here's a stranger who's going to be your caregiver for the week. What was that like for you as a kid?
Oh, yeah. I think for me as a kid, I was so like, I guess, I don't know, not really naive to things, but just like really, I was a kid, I was carefree, so I think my modesty didn't really kick in that young, so I was all about, I was like ready, I was like, oh my, I was probably begging my mom for 2 years prior to that to go to camp, but she was not having it, she was very, she was pretty nervous, to let me go, to say the least, definitely, and I was 9. But yeah, she was pretty nervous to let me. It was definitely harder for her, for sure, to let me leave for that week and to let me, let a stranger take care of me. It was, I'm sure, nerve-wracking. I can only imagine. But yeah. So, but I mean, it was great, and I know for her too, it was probably just a beautiful thing just to see because my family, we weren't really involved with like. We never went to conferences and we weren't really involved with the SMA community until I went to camp, doctor's appointments and such, yeah, but never really like, meeting other families and parents and kids, So I know even for her that was, life-changing, in a good way. So, yeah, that was just, it was a stressful time for her, but it was a great time for me. I had the same counselor my entire time at camp, and we're still great friends to this day, so.
That's really cool. I hear other stories like that too. I think for me it's similar with conference. I've known some of the staff members and friends there such a long time. So it really is, you make those connections and form that community early on. And also, okay, so you mentioned too, you were the only child for a long time, so you had siblings later in life.
Yeah. So I have two siblings, and we're the three of us, we're all 10 years apart.
Wow, that's
So,
cool.
yeah, right. So I was 10 when my brother was born. And then, yeah, I have a brother now who's 21. So, yeah, he's just, starting his life. And, so, yeah, it's just the three of us. And I'm the only one with SMA. But, they have the trait. So, yeah.
And can I ask what the dynamics are like for you there? Because for me, so I'm also the youngest of three, but I'm the youngest one, and I'm the only one with SMA. So for me, it was okay, my parents already had the experience of, my sister is 5 years older than me, my brother is 2.5 years older than me. Again, but neither of them have SMA, so it was all like they have my parents had the experience of, being parents, but then I came along and the world of disability was introduced to all of us. And so we had this, I have a very close relationship with my siblings, but we had that dynamic. For you, what was it like as the older sibling who is the only one with SMA?
It was a little different. We were obviously, not close in age at all. So we just have that, and then they're boys. So they were always, I mean, I'm just saying, they were always active and doing their own thing, kind of, we weren't, just because of the age gap, I think we weren't, as close. And so that meant like, they weren't really, they didn't really learn of SMA until I was much older, So, but yeah, they were, once they got, to be teenagers and stuff, they're very helpful and, they know about SMA and, they've been to, drop me off at camp. So they've seen like other families and stuff, So yeah. And my brother actually went to, the conference with me. I went to a couple years ago, so when we were in Florida, so he got to see, a whole new perspective. So I that was good.
That's really cool, 'cause yeah, I mean, I just wonder, 'cause yeah, for me it was like my older siblings. Of course, we still fought all the time, but that, yeah, like any siblings do. But we all, but also they had that protective nature about them too. And then, you know, it was cool once we got older because we became more friends and like we would go do stuff together. And you know, my brother could drive me, my sister could drive me, and so we had that dynamic. And that carries
Exactly.
on to today. And now I've
Yeah.
got my, they both have kids, and so my niece and nephews are like my little helpers now, and I'm kind of like, you know, training them to like help me with
Yeah.
little things, and it's really cool to have that dynamic as well.
Yeah. See, it's so being the opposite, me being the oldest, I was like, the babysitter. My
Yeah,
mom was a
yeah.
nurse, so she worked a lot of hours and stuff. And like, we had a lot of family support too, but I'm the oldest, so I was the babysitter. So it was like the fighting was a different dynamic. It's like you're not listening type of, So yeah.
Absolutely. And you have to take charge, and you have to like and but I, that's really cool. And getting back to just like adolescence growing up, what were some of your big interests? Like, I know, 'cause I know you talked about how going to camp really informed your sense of community. What were some of the other things that you were really passionate about growing up and that might have informed, you know, what you're doing today?
I was a nerd when I was a kid. Like, I was super into, I mean, I still am now, but I think more so when I was a kid. But I was super into computers and playing online games and just like designing. I loved art. I loved to draw. I loved to do graphic design and paint and just sketch. So those were some passions. And now in my role that I do a lot of graphic design and So yeah, and just having that lived experience, because I work for a place that supports people in recovery of all different types. It could be mental health, addiction, it could be a host of all different things that people can be re in recovery from. So just having that lived experience, because I meet lots of people, lots of wheelchair users and lots of people who have had to, adapt and so yeah, it's played a good part, a good role in what I do now, kind of what I was interested in when I was younger. So
That's really cool. And fellow nerd here, as you can tell from my background, of all my like comic book shelves and everything out, like big geek. And so yeah, that's really cool. But
Love it.
and Jasmine, you said earlier how once you were transitioning to adulthood, that was when really SMA started to kind of affect you mentally and emotionally. Can you talk more about that and about, you know, once you're so at the point when you were, you know, getting older, graduating high school, what were the conversations you were having with your mom and just your own ideas about transitioning to adulthood and independence?
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, I graduated in high school in 04, and yeah, I automatically had that mindset, independence, wanting to, get out of the house, and my mom was not fond of that idea, me getting out into the world and, having my own place and just doing things on my own, but yeah, I actually, once I graduated high school, I moved out and I moved in. I had a roommate, but I did get my own apartment, and yeah, it was great. It was a longtime friend, so they knew, the aspects of, SMA and the types of, help that I needed. Even though I did have in-home care, they would help out occasionally too, so that was good to have that support. And yeah, so I took a little time off. Didn't really go straight to college, just worked a few jobs here and there, just didn't really know what direction I wanted to go in. But then decided to enroll in college, and I did for a couple years. At first just doing general studies and then moved to business. And yeah, so college life, it was fairly easy. I went to a community college, so I didn't have to like stay in a dorm or anything. I stayed in my apartment that I was in. My mom finally got used to the transition once she realized I was capable and, you know, of doing it on my own, and life was good, you know. And yeah, so I'd say that actually was a time when I was going to college, when I was probably the most disconnected from the SMA community. And I don't know, for whatever reason, just living life, you know, busy. I don't know the specific reasons, but yeah, that was just the most disconnected I probably have been. And yeah, I ended up having my first child when I was 27. And yeah, that kind of opened my eyes a whole lot on just, like, you know, the different layers, I should say, of judgment. It was already, you know, my mom was advocated for me my whole life, you know, so I never really had to, you know. But once I became a mom, it was like, you know, a complete switch. You know, I had to advocate for myself, you know, my child, you know, being judged as just being disabled, let alone being a Black disabled mom. You know, I was looked at like, wow, like, how could this be? You know, or, you know, I was getting questioned. People would literally question me in the grocery store, like, are these your kids? You know, like, you know, and honestly, that was a time when I didn't have as much support as I had previously in life. You know, a lot of people, family included, unfortunately, you know, didn't feel that I should have a kid. You know, they didn't feel like I should, that I was capable, you know. And so having to prove, you know, that for some time really took a toll, you know, but it did, you know, it, in a positive way, it definitely, you know, helped. And I think that's where my advocacy really started, you know, and getting back into community and just having that time where I didn't really have anyone. I became closer. I got online and, you know, got back in touch with my SMA community, you know, and it was just amazing to see, you know, other moms, you know, with SMA. And I was just like, wow, you know, just having this support would have made a world of difference, you know. So,
That's what I was going to ask, is if you had known any other disabled parents at that point, or was that your kind of first exposure to others when you kind of got back into the community?
yeah, that was, I had never met previously a disabled mom. Well, someone I had went to camp with, actually. So she was the first person with SMA that I knew that had children. She was older than me, you know, but that was, you know, she had a good support system, you know, and all that. So I definitely looked up to her. You know, I remember reaching out to her and asking her questions and things like that, you know. So but yeah, I remember personally meeting my first parent with SMA at a conference, at my first conference. And even more there on forward, you know, it was just the best thing ever, you know, and being able to relate and just connect with other moms that are going through the same thing, you know, that have to just adapt on a whole new level is, yeah, it was great.
That's really cool. Yeah, and well, and a lot of it too, I think, is just like ignorance too, because like I have even friends who I've known, you know, years and years since high school, whatever. And like I think one time when I mentioned, you know, like an SMA friend who's a parent, it wasn't that they were like judgmental or anything, but they just like didn't even know that physically we can become parents, you know. And like there is just a lot of that. So I imagine too, it was just dealing with all that, the stigmas, the ignorance, having to work through that mentally and emotionally.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like, even doctors had never seen anything like that, you know, so they were new. You know, I was teaching them a lot of times, you know. And you know, which is good. I always love a good teaching moment, you know, but I'm just saying it was, you know, it took a lot, you know, it took a big toll on me, you know, and you know, but yeah, in the end, you know, I have another child now, and so, you know, they're very independent. They've learned, you know, they adapt as well. You know, I think all kids do. You know, all kids are going to adapt to their parents, their living situation, their environment, and so that's exactly what they've done. They were little babies, crawling up on my footrest, and climbing in my lap. So being able to physically pick them up wasn't necessarily an issue, I came up with the most creative ways to, take care of them. So between my, creative ways and my support, it was definitely good towards, towards the end. Well, after the first initial stressful years.
Well, I think like disabled people, as many people, we're probably better equipped to become parents and, entrepreneurs, anything like than others because we are naturally, I would say, more creative and adaptable than most people because we have to be. So it's, And so for you, so once you became a mother, you're adapting, I imagine, yes, the earlier years were I struggled because it was all new and it's, I mean, I think that's typical for a parent in general, but what about your journey from that point on in terms of both career and family life? Kind of where did you go from there once you started raising kids, connecting back with the SMA community? Where did kind of your career and advocacy journey take you from that point?
After having my kids and just deciding to share my life on social media, that just opened a whole new world. I was already connected with the SMA community, but just like getting more in depth with it was definitely after I started sharing more of my story online, my life as a parent. And so yeah, it got me connected with, different people, different organizations, and I have met so many people. The conference is a big thing now. I will forever go, I've been to three now, but yeah, I am gonna try not to miss any more. But yeah, definitely. My career now is, like I said, I love what I do. My job is very accommodating, in every aspect. Like they've installed, automatic door switches for me. They've given me a bigger office, like they've given me a raised desk, like all different types of things they've accommodated for, but also they accommodate for my life. Like they know I'm a mother, they know I'm a disabled mother at that. So transportation might look different, my times, my days, could look a little different. So, yeah, I love that for, for the job that I work at.
That's awesome. And yeah, I know we were talking about this a little bit before we started recording, but in terms of how social media has impacted our community, like, yes, there are plenty of negatives to social media and online culture in general, but one of the pros is that I think it has connected us a lot more. I mean, there are so many people I've gotten to know over the years that are I know primarily through online and social media. Like sometimes we got to meet in person, but usually just at conferences. But I feel like I know a lot of those people better than people I see regularly in person. And so, what has been
Agreed.
that like been for you creating this community, sharing your story online? Like, what kind of prompted you to do that?
Honestly, seeing the community, just being inspired by, just giving me the confidence, like seeing, like you said, you have close relationships. Some of your closest relationships are some of your online friends, and that's the same with me. I feel like some of my strongest relationships are with some of my friends in the SMA community, and just seeing them, be proud and be just brave enough, really, to just get on and tell their story, and really spread awareness and advocate, for the community. Like just seeing my friends do that was my motivation. Like, I should be doing that too. I'm a mother, and there's other mothers out there. Someone could be going through what I was going through, that lonely period where, you don't have that support system. You're a new mom, you're going through all the downs, and you just need some support. So yeah, that was it right there for me, and so I just decided, yeah, let me get on here and share my life as a mom, because it's possible, and if there's one thing I've learned, it's that have an SMA doesn't, it doesn't define like what is possible, it the only thing it does, it just changes kind of how we get there, so it's not, yeah, it's nothing else changes, it's just, so yeah, so from my journey since then has just been great, things have been looking up. I've had, I get ideas and tips and things that, I when I think I'm creative, I find something new, I'm like, oh, okay, I never thought of that, you know what I mean, like, yeah, just when I thought of something, so the community still helps me and motivates me, and yeah, I'm on to, continue my journey. I'm starting my independent driving journey soon, so that's my newest adventure. So yeah, and the community helped me with that as well, just getting online and seeing that, that is possible, we driving is possible, we just have to go a different route, so.
Absolutely. I mean, there are things I learn every day from our community about what actually is possible, and it's still kind of you have to figure out what works for you and adapt. But again, we're all of us are really good at adapting and being creative, and so we just find out what works for us. But and Jasmine, also, if I could ask a little bit about caregiving, because I know that's something we touched on a little bit earlier with NBA camp, that being your first time of having someone else take care of you besides your mom. What about kind of the rest of you said you had in-home care early on. Was that still when you were growing up, and did that help you kind of make that transition to adulthood?
So I'd say that probably was the biggest transition for me, was getting that, getting new help. My mom, helped take care of me pretty much until I graduated high school, so moving out and having to have a total stranger help was definitely a little nerve-wracking. I was very modest, very, I didn't want to ask for help type of person, but yeah, once I became a mom, that definitely changed. Just your whole outlook kind of, changes after you, change a bunch of diapers and, all this type of stuff. So you're like, yeah, asking for help is not that bad, so I kind of got away from that. But over time, and I think also having different caregivers was a struggle too, not having like one person or, a steady one or two per people that are constant, so having to change it up was a little stressful too. But about 10 years ago, actually, yeah, I met a great caregiver and she's been my caregiver ever since. She's amazing. She's amazing. So yeah, she's been with me for a while now. So I do have a secondary that's, kind of fills in the gaps, but yeah, she's great.
That's awesome. I love to hear when you can build a long-term relationship like that. I have one with like mine as well, and then several others. But because I agree, that's if like anytime people in our community are articulating to others like what's the hardest part of our it's always finding care. Like I think that's pretty universal, and finding consistent people, all that. So when you can build that relationship with someone long term, it makes a world of difference.
Oh yeah, I'm so grateful for that. Yeah, 'cause that already in the state that we're in now, especially now, it's difficult. It's always been, but yeah, it's definitely I'm definitely grateful for having that steady care and having that relationship built with her, She's like family, but it's still like professional where it's not like no boundaries are being crossed or anything like that. So it's great. It works out perfect. Yeah.
That's really awesome. That's cool. And also, and Jasmine, so your kids now, like, can you just talk a little bit more your relationship now, and kind of like, I would just kind of walk through kind of like what daily life with them looks like.
Yeah. Daily life with them. Oh goodness. It's where do I start? It is busy, okay? So we both, I say we both get our breaks when they're at school, when I'm at work, But yeah, we, get up in the mornings. My son, he's in elementary school, he's 9. And so he's super active. But just like most kids, he loves video games, he loves Minecraft, and so every now and then we'll nerd out on Pokemon and Minecraft together. And he loves swimming, so currently now we're going to swim lessons once a week, so we're doing that. But yeah, my daughter, she's a teenager now, so that's a whole different ball game. She's out of my son while he still wants to, hang out and lay down and watch movies and mommy, mommy, mommy all day. She's like, wants to, hang out by herself, be on her phone or hang with her friends, but yeah, and she plays volleyball, so she's pretty busy. Yeah. And so yeah, life is pretty good with them. They're really helpful kids. Like I said, they're independent. They both love to cook. Yeah, my daughter, she was 4 when I had her brother, and she was so excited. It was the cutest thing, and I think that probably lasted until she's about 7, and then after that it was like I have an annoying little brother. So now we have a lot of the sibling rivalry going on. That's pretty much what the days look like these days when it comes to those two. Yeah.
Oh, I see it with my niece and nephew all the time. They, because
Yep.
it's like, it's funny too, because my niece and two nephews, like two of them are siblings, and then one's an only child. But the age range there is pretty similar to what it was for me and my siblings, and so we see a lot of the dynamics, kind of like play out, like replicate, just like when we were kids. So it's really
Yeah.
funny, but it's similar too of like they are able to help me out, just with little things, and it's cool. I've been seeing them grow up with me. It's like, yeah, disability is very normal for them. I'm not, like they've seen me with caregivers since they were born, and so it's a very,
Yeah.
normal thing for them.
Yeah, same with my kids. They've adapted to this lifestyle. They've been, they've been my son, he's only seen one caregiver, so but my daughter, she knows that caregiving life. She's, a big girl now, so she and then my son, but they both are very helpful. And they help in their own little ways, and I just love it. They kind of adapted to just knowing, the type of help that I need. And so yeah, they're very helpful, and it stretches outside of the house, which I love. I love that for them, because my daughter, she just got a compassionate award at school yesterday, and so that just reminded me to my I was thinking, that makes sense to me, because she is very compassionate, her and my son. They're very helpful, when they see other disabled people or other wheelchair users, they don't, and it's normal. I get it. I've had kids, that stare and are wondering. They want to ask questions, or they're curious, and even some adults. But my kids, I guess they're just so used to it. They've been to a few conferences, and so they're just looking like it's just everyday thing. It's nothing to them. My son, especially him, we ride the city bus a lot together, and another wheelchair user will get on the bus and he'll be like, "Oh, can I help with his hooks?" And he'll always want to help out and, put the armrest down for them or lift the seat up so they can get in without me even saying anything, So I just love it that they've adapted, and they're familiar with, our world. So
Absolutely. I mean, and well, it's similar to where when you have kids that stare and that's like, I'm never offended by that because I want them to be curious and come and ask questions. I always tell parents, like, if a kid wants to come up and ask questions, like, let them, because the more, if they've never really seen an adult in a wheelchair, a disabled adult out and about, they're just naturally curious. And if you let them come and talk to us, that helps them understand, oh yeah, we're just everyday people, and like we have, yeah, I use a wheelchair, you have your legs, like, I mean, but we both get around, and and like I get much more frustrated when the parents try to like pull them away, and it's because I'm like, that's what's gonna make them think of us in an otherly sense,
Exactly. Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing. Like, I'll get the parents that are like, the kid will say, "Oh, why are you in a wheelchair? Or what happened?" The questions, and the parent will try and shush him or just say, "No, don't ask that." And the first thing I say is, "No, it's okay." And then I'll go into telling the kid, because he it's fine. It's okay, And so, yeah.
So it's really cool. Like I and I that's yeah, I hope my with my niece and nephews, your kids, so yeah, I think they can be some of the big educators, like in their communities, and so it's really cool to see. But yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And be able to like advocate for other people too, you know.
Yeah.
When I'm not around them, you know, if they're in an environment where there's someone else in a wheelchair, I have confidence that, you know, they're not going to judge, they're going to be helpful if needed, you know, respectful, all the things, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah. And Jasmine, I know we've talked a lot about, the nuances in your daily life and managing all these things, but what do you also do to take care of yourself? Because I know you have like I know it's a loaded question for any parent, but also I think it is really important for, anyone in our community. We talk so much about, oh, how to do this and how to achieve this, but also, where do you find space for yourself to also decompress and, tend to your health on top and apart from all of your responsibilities.
No, right. No, that is a good question. But I know one thing I've been really mindful of the past, you know, at least it was a struggle before, but a good handful of years now, I've been very intentional with my time, like extremely intentional with my time in every aspect. So I make sure that I carve out time for myself, you know, even if it's just 5 minutes to just go outside. You know, I have a dog, so just taking him outside, literally, you know, by myself, just for 5, 10 minutes is, you know, peace to me, you know. But when I have more time, I love to garden. I love gardening, like indoor gardening and outdoor gardening. I'll do that like year round. And yeah, art. I love art. I still love to draw, and do graphic design. I love doing that. Yeah, and you know, just binging out on some shows, you know. So yeah.
Always the best self-care. I love it. But yeah,
Yep, I'm
that's
telling you, it
great.
is.
That's great. Awesome. Well, Jasmine, this has been great. And just before we wrap up, do you have any advice or message for others in the SMA community? And this could be about anything to, those who want to become parents, those who are parents, those who are transitioning to adulthood. I know we've talked about a lot here, but is there anything you wanted to say to anyone dealing with any of those topics and not knowing where to start?
That's a good question. That's a good question. I would say to anyone living with SMA, whether it's a parent of someone with SMA, or you know, anyone living with SMA, I would just say, I don't know, just give yourself permission to define your own de like find your own definition of freedom, you know, and independence. Because there's no way, there's no one right way to live with SMA. You know, there's not one way to live a good life with SMA. You know, some days are going to be tough, you know, but there's just so much joy that you could find in just, you know, trying to find those little things, you know. Yeah, I mean, we can build the life we want. Like I said earlier, you know, it's we anything we want to do, you know, or have, we can do that. It just might just be a different journey, a different route than someone who's walking or who's not a wheelchair user, you know. But yeah, it can be done. So
I love too that you say that it is very much your own definition of freedom and independence, because I think we have this, especially in our culture, this idea that, oh, to be independent, you have to have your own house, your own this, and this. And it's like becomes your checkboxes. And if you want those things, absolutely go for them. But
Right.
also, like, you can be living with family. You can be in a different situation and still have the life you want. And so I'm really glad you said that, because I think
Yeah,
it is,
absolutely.
it's important to emphasize. That's great.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
Yeah.
thank you.
Well, Jasmine, this has been fantastic. And where can people find you? We'll also leave links in the description, but where can people connect with you on social media?
Yeah, they can find me on Instagram at my underscore will life. And yeah, just find me there. And yeah, thank you. This was great. I'm so excited. I'm glad to have done this.
Oh, this was fantastic. Thanks so much. I really enjoyed hearing your story. And yeah, we'll definitely have you on again. We're also, I don't know when exactly this episode will go out, but I also recorded a video with Jasmine that should be out sometime around the same time. So keep an eye out for that on our website about prepping for the winter. So yeah, no,
Yeah.
Jasmine, thanks so much. This was fantastic. But yeah.
Yeah, thank you. It was good talking to you, Kevin.
Absolutely. Well, for our listeners out there, you can hear more stories and conversations like this by subscribing to the SMA News Today podcast. You can also connect with us directly on our forums and social media and follow SMA News Today for all the latest SMA news and perspectives. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time. Take care.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.smanewstoday.com.